Fine. All right. Well, good morning. We have this morning another new gardener. I'm trying to bring as many of the many gardeners in this community into the radio to talk with me. And Ann Myron has graciously said yes.
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
So, and everybody in their gardening kind of has different things to bring to the table about it. And one of the things that Anne particularly has is she's gardening in two different places, and we will talk about that in a minute. But first, so where have you gardened? Where do you garden now? What's your gardening thing?
I grew up gardening in central Illinois, so that was just a part of family life. But then after that, until we moved to Haines, I really didn't have the opportunity. So mm-hmm. I garden out at LUTAC. We have it set up down on the beach, so lots of nice sun. And
In the summer,
mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I also garden in the Yukon. We have a little place up in the Haines Junction area, so we have raised beds up there as well.
And so you go back and forth and keep both of them weeded and what both of them tended and
I keep them tended to my level of tending, yes.
So I have a question. I was raised in Minnesota, and I grew up gardening as well, but I thought I never wanted to garden or touch anything related to gardening ever again when I left home. Was that the case with you, or did you not have an aversion to gardening?
No, I loved it.
Oh, really?
My happy place is when I'm out in the garden digging around and mm-hmm. planting things or planting it or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
it's always been that way for
it's
you?
It's been that
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. I just find that curious because I kind of had to do, in talking to parents, there's a question of should I force my kid to garden or should I not? And I was forced to garden and I didn't like it at the time, but now look what I'm doing.
So. Right.
So, okay, so back to how on earth do you do this? How do you do it so that you can garden two different places?
Well, I think there's two things. The first thing is I'm not super finicky. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I keep it to my level, and that doesn't mean all the weeds are always gone or anything like that. I do the best I can because mm-hmm. we do go back and forth, and we have a lot of other things going on where I want to spend my time. But the key really is the watering systems mm-hmm. because we go away and the plants still need the water. So we use automatic watering systems both outside and in our greenhouse. And the one outside is simply timers with the soaker hose that are buried in the dirt, the black soaker hoses.
So these are the ones that are kind of porous looking and you just bury them in the dirt. They don't get clogged up, eh?
They don't. And mm-hmm. I have had them for years mm-hmm. and eventually they will start to deteriorate and they'll spring a little hole here or there and then you might have to replace them. But mm-hmm. we've had them in both places for a lot of years. They've lasted quite a lot of
mm-hmm.
years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're just hooked up to a garden hose.
They're hooked up to a garden hose that's on timers. So it says how many times a week I want to water those different beds, and then mm-hmm. it comes on automatically and goes off automatically.
So roughly how, like up in the Yukon where it's drier, how often do you water? How long?
Usually
kind of
maybe three times a week for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And that's enough.
Right. Because it's kind of close to where the roots are. I'm not mm-hmm. trying to keep everything really saturated. And then I also use seaweed between the rows to keep the dirt, mm-hmm. the weeds down and the dirt moisture there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm. So do you plant next to the soaker hose or do you just kind of, you said you don't necessarily intend to keep the whole bed wet.
Right. And you know, some of the plants that I think are bigger that are going to need a lot more water, I might place them a little bit closer mm-hmm. to the soaker mm-hmm. hose, and then something that's more delicate or might be more finicky, I might put away.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot
mm-hmm.
of it's just kind of where the row ends up that year.
Mm-hmm.
I think okay. about that those other things a little bit, but I don't get stuck on
right.
them.
Yeah, yeah. And if it rains, it's not a big deal. There's just more,
it's more moisture, and then it right. gets deeper in the bed, and it's right. it's that backup reserve.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I guess there might be some concerns of doing that if you had a clay bottom or something like that. But if you have reasonably good drainage,
right, and this is all in raised beds, and right. there is great drainage,
yeah.
and so
it's not a big deal. If it rains for a week and it happens to be the sprinkler, not the sprinkler, the soaker hose is still going, so be it.
That's right.
Yeah. So then you also have another system in your inside?
In the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And this is one that we just discovered, so we've only used it 1 year, but I'm so excited about it because we grow most of our tomatoes and cucumbers in 5-gallon buckets in the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there was no easy way to water in there without asking a neighbor to take it over if we're away. And I didn't want to always be doing that. So we found this system online that's called the Blumat, B-L-U-M-A-T. Mm-hmm. And then we don't even hook this up to the water pipe, like the hose bib. This is connected to a 33-gallon garbage can of water that's raised. And then it has a spigot that comes out the bottom that a tiny little hose goes to. And then that hose has on it, each system does 12 plants. So it has 12 of these little ceramic cones that they call carrots because they're in the shape of a carrot. And they're ceramic and they have a lid. And so you soak those and you get them all wet. And then underwater, you put the lid on and make sure there's no air bubbles in it. And then you stick it in your wet dirt that's at the level you want that plant to be at. And then there's a little twisty thing on the top. And so you dial it, and when it's running, and then you dial it back until there's just a drop that stays at the end of that little spigot hose. And when the dirt dries out enough, the ceramic porcelain carrot realizes this. It starts to release the water. And it drips, 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 drips until the ceramic carrot gets moist enough. And then it creates this system that it turns it off.
Wow.
And so each bucket is as wet as you set it up to be in the beginning. It takes some adjusting. You kind of have to play with it. But once you get it, you don't have to mess with it all year long, all summer long. It's just going. And you can have something that needs more water and something that needs less water because it's based on per pot.
And it's not hooked into your water system. It's a 55-gallon or whatever kind of thing.
Yeah, we just went and bought a big 33-gallon.
Like trash can or something like that. Yeah.
And Tim built a little stand and raised it up.
How high?
Maybe it's 3 feet.
Really?
So off the ground. Not very high. It just has to be above where those little carrots are in the plants. And the plants did so much better last year. Now we had a great summer. But we got way more tomatoes and cucumbers than we ever did. They were never overwatered because what I always used to do was just dump on the water because we were leaving in hope. And so then they'd be dry by the time I got home, but they were soaking wet when I left.
And this way, cucumbers in particular don't really like that water fluctuation.
And so, and the amount of water I used was so much less than normal.
Oh, really?
Because, we didn't have to fill those barrels all that often. And so that to me was amazing because I was having to pump the water down there a lot. But with this system, it doesn't use as much
water. So interesting. It shows how much the plants really did need, how much, you know, when they could get it when they needed it.
Right. Right.
So I don't understand how this carrot is so magical. How does it know? Is it capillary action
What they say is it. So you set it up, you fill it with water, you soak it, you fill it with water, you put the lid on, and you knock out all the bubbles, and it kind of creates some sort of a vacuum. And when the dirt starts to draw the water out.
So that's the capillary action, I think, pulls it out.
That releases something that says, I have to open up and drip. And then when it gets to the point where it's not needing to pull that out, it says, now I don't need to.
Wow.
And it really does work. It's kind of amazing.
And tell me the name of the system again.
It's called Blumat, but the name in front of that is capital T-R-O-P-H, so Trough Blumat System.
It sounds European.
It is Austrian made.
Yeah. Most of these systems come from someplace in Europe.
Right. And
you just went online.
Online.
And got it.
Yeah. And they sell little kits. And then the other cool thing is if you have pots that are around where you don't want like a string of 12 with the big reservoir, you can just get these little carrots that don't have the fancy stuff on top, and you just put a empty plastic bottle, you fill up, you poke a hole in the bottom of the bottle, fill it with water, put it on this little carrot, and put it in a plant. So that I can use on plants like on the deck or whatever
that aren't hooked into
a system when we go away.
Wow. Because I have used the ones that that you hook to a bottle like that, and they just have holes in them. They don't work for anything because all the water is gone and it's gone.
They say a 2-liter bottle, like an old soda or tonic water bottle, will last 6 days.
Wow.
So, and that also worked really great. because it's, again, slow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out because there's always a few pots that are in places. In fact, when I go home today, what I have to do is I have to extend some of my watering systems because I've added on. And so it would be nice just to have something like this. I can remember to fill something up every 6 days or so. It's the it's the doing it every day during this nice hot weather is hard to remember. Yeah.
And the system that we use the reservoir for can also be hooked up to a hose bib with a pressure thing that you buy. Mm-hmm. So somebody has that option too.
Oh,
you just
really?
Have it running right off of their system.
Mm-hmm. So you can do either.
Right.
Oh.
But we chose to have limited amount of water that could keep going if something didn't work.
Wow. Pretty interesting. I've never heard of it. And it sounds like I might have to try this because I have drip systems, but they're not. I like this idea of it being able to sense when it needs more. That's the they probably would do a better job of that than me.
Right. And lots of times I would think, oh, I need to water that. But it wasn't water in it because underneath where that carrot thing was, it was moist enough.
Which, of course, that is the key of knowing when to water is to stick your finger in. Don't look at the top and see if it's dry because oftentimes that can be really deceiving.
Right.
Especially on nice, hot, sunny days. It'll zap the moisture in the top. But if you stick your finger, the rule of thumb is the first knuckle. Uh-huh. If you stick your finger in and it goes down to the first knuckle, you shouldn't have to water. So anyway, I'm gonna look up these and try. There's a few places that I could definitely use them. So I'm curious, what have you found in terms of growing better in a well, first, I guess we should define the climate in the Yukon is probably hotter during the day.
Hotter and drier.
Shorter season, though.
Shorter season. Longer days.
So when do you plant? When do you plant at LUTAC and when do you plant there? Or is that when you're there probably?
It depends on the year, but LUTAC's pretty much planted right now or will be in the next couple days. And then in the Yukon, we usually go between Memorial Day weekend and early first week of June. Somewhere in that
zone. So a little bit later than probably most of us planting down here in Haines. And I'm guessing that it gets colder earlier there.
It does. The frost can come early.
But the one difference that I would think is that we used to get rains in August. And I always said that our growing season basically shut down in August because it would get cool and rainy and all of that. And that doesn't happen up there, I assume.
It can keep going because days will be warm, but it can get cool at night.
Mm-hmm.
So we use Remay, and we have sides on the pretty good size sides on the beds to reduce the wind and also just to protect them a little bit, maybe save a couple of degrees overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But the brassicas do great up there, all the kales and the cabbages, and they'll be out and still producing late September, early October.
What about zucchini?
No, I haven't had luck with zucchini.
Luck with zucchini.
But that doesn't mean it doesn't do it.
Right.
It's just I haven't, in our garden. Carrots haven't worked for me. Onions haven't worked for me, whereas I know they work for other people. So I don't know if it's soil or what's...
Right, onions tend to like a lot of moisture, but your system should allow, for moisture to keep them moist all the time. Onions are tricky. I can't always figure out why they do better in some places and not well in other places.
Right.
So, and so then your tomatoes and all of that, tomatoes and cucumbers you said you grew on the inside.
In the greenhouse here.
And that's here in LUTAC that you are able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you grow in there? In the greenhouse, just tomatoes and cucumbers?
Peppers. And some flowers.
Inside. Mm-hmm. So do you have outside beds here as well?
Yes.
And are those just, do you have those on any kind of watering system as well?
They're like the Yukon. They're just that black hose with the timers.
Okay. All right. So you've got pretty much everything set up. You are not married to your garden the way that you can get married to a garden very easily.
Right. And when our garden moved to the beach, and the bears have become way more prominent. We have that all enclosed with electric fence and protected. So.
Mm-hmm. So electric fence as well. Do you have to do that in Yukon?
No.
No. there's not bears hanging out there.
No, there we have to put keep lids on the beds because of the rabbits and the ground squirrels who dig in from the bottom. Right. So we had to put chicken wire on the bottom and then the lids to keep the rabbits from jumping in. But there's always something that wants
it. I know. The protection that you have to do to garden here is pretty incredible. So, and then you've got wind. I suppose you have wind in both places. Mm-hmm. So, and you just use Remay basically for
Remay
that.
And then the side, we have sides in the Yukon because we have a really windy location.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But otherwise, the plants just have to be tough.
Mm-hmm. And then do you leave the Remay on all summer or do you take it off at some point?
On the brassicas here in Haines, I leave them on until mid-July.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the other beds will open up.
Up in the Yukon,
both places.
Well. Both places.
Yeah, and in the Yukon, I don't even leave the brassicas are fine. We haven't had root maggot problems.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so that's what you were saying. No root maggots up in the Yukon.
Not so far.
At
for
least
us.
Yet. Yeah. Do you know if other people up there have root maggots?
Not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never. I have some Yukon friends, and I've never really asked them if they have root maggot problems or not. So. So yeah, there's trade-offs everywhere.
There always are, but it's always such a joy to get what you get.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. So, all right. So we are just about done with our time here. So, any other last-minute things about the watering system or that? Actually, let me ask you one question. Do you have? I'm asking all of the gardeners that I run into these days, is there any tip, any piece of advice, gardening? I'm talking gardening here. I'm not talking about life advice. Any piece of advice, anything like that, that has stuck with you that a gardener has said to you, younger or older?
Well, one day I was at the bookstore and Kelly Mitchell was working and we were talking about gardening a couple years ago. And she was talking about this really cool thing. She discovered that if you used old copper pipe and put it around the outside of your raised beds, the slugs wouldn't get in. And so we happened to have some of that, and we tried it, and it really is amazing.
It really worked.
It has cut it down immensely.
Mm-hmm. I have read about that and other people saying that it works. And so I went out, and I guess I did the cheaper version. I got the copper tape, and that did not work for me. But since then, I have read that that copper tape has a really low amount of copper in it. So you actually use the copper pipe.
Old copper pipe that had come out when we did a remodel project, I guess, and it was just under the house being stored for some unknown reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was to put on the garden bed.
I guess it was to put on the garden bed. Wow, so that's amazing. And another trick for slugs. Slugs and root maggots, those are the two big ones. Well, and bears and porcupines and on and on and on. So, all right, our time is done. Thanks so much, Anne. We've had Anne Myron today, and happy gardening.
Likewise.
Okay.